Disclaimer, all music streamed on this podcast is protected by Section 108 of the U.S. Copyright Act, which states that copyrighted work reproduced for purposes of criticism and comment are not an infringement of copyright. But with that being said, let's set sail on the virtual ocean. Let me welcome you to the show.
Show. Hello, world. Welcome to episode 27 of The Virtual Ocean. I'm your host, Jarrell Ramos, aka J.Ram. I am joined by my talented producer and shipmate, Brandon Mattel. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. This is the Vaporwave Music Discovery Podcast. We're happy to have you on board. If you don't know what Vaporwave is, Vaporwave is an experimental electronic music genre and internet-based art aesthetic. The genre is known for both its criticism and worshiping of modern capitalism and plays off of 80s and 90s aesthetics to show us the ghosts of a future that never was. I have to stop myself from clapping every time I talk. Vaporwave also has a strong sense of irony. Fuck it, I'm going to clap. Has a strong sense of irony behind it and walks a fine line between troll takes and genius ideas. In each episode, we highlight an artist or album within the Vaporwave genre and listen to it, analyze it, and discuss it with you, the listener. You can follow us on Instagram at The Virtual Ocean, where we curate aesthetic art on a daily basis. Our opinions, though, are our own, and we welcome you to join in on the conversation by commenting on our Instagram. But now for today's episode. Brandon and I... No, sorry. Nope. Just kidding. Forget I said that. In today's episode, we explore the work of Italian vaporwave artist Quadrato X. I mispronounced it as Quadratox at the beginning of the episode. This album is one of 80 freaking projects released by Quadrato X under the Business Casual Vaporwave label, which we have featured many times on this podcast. This LP is by far the most range we have ever heard in an album on this podcast. Do you ever wonder what an acoustic ballad sounds like with a vaporwave tinge? What about Eurotrap? How about industrial and metal? This is all in one album, guys. All in one album. Quadrato X displays an impressive range and sticks to landing on most of it. So, ready to hear what it sounds like? Let's go atomic and set sail into the mind of Quadrato X's 1995. Let us begin with the first track titled Moon Way. Thank you. And that track features the warp punk artist Chemical Hypnotist laying down the heavy reverb and guitar, and I assume a bit of the drum set playing in that as well. I'm not too familiar with Chemical Hypnotist's work, but it's very cool to hear that kind of sound juxtaposed with the vaporwave music that Quadratox is doing here. Reminds me a little bit of George Clanton's work. Not quite the same, but just hearing the workings of drum and bass and guitar into vaporwave is very interesting because it doesn't happen too often. So let's go to the second track titled Euro Weather Channel 808. Nice big shift in style with that second track using those are the sounds of the Roland TR-808. There's just something distinct about the 808 sounds where you just hear them and you immediately know what the hell that is. Nice little change in the track. Euro Weather Channel, a very interesting name for that one. I do wonder what inspirations there was that went into that Quadratox had going into that track. Quadratox is a artist from Italy, I believe. So yeah, very wonder, you know, we're from the United States of America, so when it comes to the vibes of the Euro weather channels, we don't have the context for that. But I would assume that's probably where he was inspired to make that track from. Nice little 808 track right there. We love our 808s over here. Let's go ahead and go to the third track titled Gieslo's. Sorry. I'm so sorry for butchering this fucking pronunciation, dude. Giesio's Funeral. That is Giesio's Funeral. I believe that's the way to pronounce it. Because I studied Italian for 1 month. Wow, very unsettling track with that one. I had no idea this album was going to make a quick 90-degree turn into the darkness. Very unsettling track, but I do like the composition of it. I like just the rumbling that never stops. The voices in the back that you hear about a minute into the track. Very creepy, very unsettling. Sounds very full, sounds very suffocating. And I like it. I like when, you know, you can go to these places, but when they're done in a way that is, you know, tasteful, done in a way that evokes a certain specific emotion and visual. I love it. I love when that happens. So let's go to the fourth track titled, And I'm Thinking About You. To appreciate about Quadrato X. I've been pronouncing the name wrong the past four tracks, good for me. But anyway, there's a lot to appreciate about Quadrato X's approach to this album, and I'm starting to figure it out. And I think there's a very genuine Italian perspective that he's bringing to the table with this, and it's titled 1995, and I think he's trying to capture his vaporwave interpretation of what that era would look like in the heightened vaporwave sense, and the fact that, you know, you take those strange memories and the ghosts of the past of the 90s, and you turn it into what and Quadrato X is turning that into what he thinks it would sound sonically. And I'm starting to understand that, because the first three tracks built up to this track where we have a heavy rock backing combined with these precise synth, this precise synthesizer's melody going in the background. And a lot of the focus on this track is on Pasetta, who is the singer and also a collaborator of Quadrato X, a singer from Italy. And the focus, to put the focus on his voice, was a good idea. I do like the putting that front and center, because it has this building up into this vocalization, and it sounded great. I like that track a lot. Sounds like a, I guess we're now uncovering a very strong vaporwave scene in Italy that we haven't even looked at before. So this is super fun. I'm excited to see what's next. So let's go to the fifth track titled Back to Papaya Beach.
I think it's Return Back to Papaya Beach, right?
I guess so, yeah. Oh yeah, so Return Back. Yeah, little icon. Okay, let's go. It looks like Papaya Beach is actually a spot in Fiumicino, Italy. I'm so sorry for my pronunciation, our Italian listeners. I'm not sure if this is where Quadrato X is getting the inspiration from. But, yeah, a very, very interesting choice to make that a trap song that sits at about 4 minutes. And I couldn't really make out what that dialogue was that was implemented in there. But so far, every single track on this album has been a different world that we're going into, for sure. Different mood, different decision, different expression of what this is supposed to be. And it just tells me further that this album itself has so much breath, breath with a D. So much range in what it wants to express. And I wish I understood more of the reference of what was going on with this Papaya Beach track right here, because it just sounds so deep and so inviting. Yeah, really interesting stuff, dude. Brandon, thoughts on this 5 tracks in?
I guess more on your comment about the range of this producer. It's just, I think for us, like, we're trying to just understand the sonics of it. Mainly because, as most people know, the vaporwave tends to sample a lot of like Asian aesthetic and Asian culture. So this is more of like that Euro kind of club party kind of soundscape that I'm getting. It's more of like if you were to walk in like an open field in like Australia or like Europe or something like that. That's the kind of what I'm getting from this. So the lush, it's very lush, and the aesthetics are the same in terms of how they design like the ambient soundscape, but the sonics themselves really do sound like a European influence, if that makes sense. And that makes sense because the artist is Italian, right?
Yeah.
So it just seems like it's just a different twist on the tropes that we've listened to so far.
Yeah, we've never had a more Euro style music on this podcast, and cool to see what vaporwave does for them. Also, as of recording this, I believe Italy is in quarantine. We're recording this on March 14, 2020. The world is, as it seems to be, falling apart right now. So prayers go out to y'all in Italy, and I guess unintentionally we're giving them some honor by listening to some of their vaporwave artists out there. So let's go on to the 6th track titled Douglas Fir's Chopstick. We'll be right back. Wow. And that is the Douglas Firs Chopstick track. Looks like Douglas Firs is a evergreen conifer species in the fine pine family. It is a, I guess it's like a type of pine tree plant thing. And I guess the chopsticks are made out of that. Maybe that's the reference. I don't know. And that track was featuring Giacomo Rento. Nice, nice track. Very gritty, grindy opening beat with that bass track and just the entrance into the main beat. Quadrado X is a true disc jockey, true DJ, true artist of the DJ craft. This next track features one of our favorite followers on Instagram, SVCCY, Svissy, Susi, not sure how we pronounce it, but sending you loves, Fusi, Svissy. but they're featured on this 7-track titled Inanimate Lullaby. Inanimate Lullaby is, as it says it is, a very synthetic sounding melody that does sound like a lullaby, something you would sing going to sleep. Sounds very pleasant to the ears. It resolves very well, and yet there is a synthesis to it. There is a artificiality to it that's very interesting. The juxtaposition of that is a vaporwave staple to make something very synthetic and yet organic at the same time, something that appeals to the heart and yet something feels very strange and off about it. So Awesome work there, Svisi. Let's go on to the 8-track titled Sophia Volume 1.
You. Just
And another complete break in style from the rest of the album with Sophia Volume 1, a 5-minute acoustic guitar ballad that I don't even think we would have like even expected anything like that to come out of this album. But very pretty stuff. You can tell that Quadrato X has a lot of ideas, a lot of range in what he wants to portray in this album. And that one is a very nice, beautiful ballad. Have no real issues with that one. I think that it could have benefited a bit more from maybe a change in pace, a bit of a more subdivisions in the sections in the track. But nonetheless, I applaud the decision to include that at the halfway point in the album. We are on track 8. We are on the beginning of the second half. And I feel like after that track, I don't know what to expect at all from anything else in this album. So it's a pleasant surprise to have that out of this Vaporwave album that is under the Business Casual label. So let's keep going with the 9th track titled Karma. Oh my god, yes, yes to that track. Oh my god, one of the best things I've ever heard all fucking year. All right, so let's that track features RGFlex. RGFlex is a noise based acid techno artist from the deep south. She her name is Celeste. You can find her at RGFlex on Twitter. She's from Cleveland. So, nice intercontinental collaboration going on there with our boy Quadrato X. Yeah, so let's break that track down, because that's what I've been waiting for. It's what I've been waiting for. Within this whole album, I kept asking myself, you know, what are these hyper collaborations with different artists and the different blending of the styles, the strange ingredients that Quadrato X is putting together. When is it going to give birth to something that is just, you know, this beautiful, like, polished accumulation of all of the ideas he has? And I think Karma, this nine track, is definitely one of the highest points. From the very beginning, you hear that Indian flute, and then the move into the trap beat, and then the changes into the more acid techno moods that come, I think, from RGFlex, their ideas from RGFlex. And whew, my god, the heat on that track. That's what I like to hear from tracks that go on for 6 minutes. You really have to justify a track being that long, and that track had movements. They had a first movement with the flute, and then it went into straight into a second trap opener, and then it went into like a bit of a ballad for a little bit, then it closed out, and it's an epic track. And this whole time I was thinking that that Quadrato X has the capacity to make more tracks like that, because so many of the cuts in this album are great ideas, and there are great stitchings of different ideas that come together. But this one was definitely one of the best ways to stitch Quadrato X just has so many things that he wants to do on this album, and I think this is the quintessential track of all those ideas just coming into one track and not sounding like anything jumbled, but sounding polished, sounding structured, sounding well collaborated and inputted. And I don't know, Brandon, what do you think about that track? You and I were loving that one.
Yeah, there's very few moments that we've had with the show where a song will kind of start and then because a lot of the times, especially when tracks tend to take a longer form, like 6 minutes and up, we'll kind of ease our way into it, right? Like sometimes we'll just kind of be listening and we'll be taking notes on our phones. But there was that move change into the second movement where it changes into like a trap beat, where both of us like looked up at each other and like this is about to pack a lot of heat. So I think that's what this song definitely did for me. I really love near the end of the track where they kind of added those bit crushed kick drum and snare that you can just hear on there as an underlying element for that carries you kind of to the rest of the track. And I think you said Argilent.
RGFlex.
Yeah. She's a noise, like an acid.
Acid noise.
Yeah.
Looking at her website right now, yeah.
Definitely can hear a lot of that. And I think what the artist is doing really well for this record is just, using the strengths of their collaborations very, very well.
Absolutely.
Versus like, if anyone listened to our last episode, where you can definitely tell, like, with Kesson Core and Telepath, they were kind of trading off. You know, it seems like it's like, all right, it's your turn for this track, your turn for this track. This one felt like a very, very good collaboration between both the artists.
Yeah, Quadrato X seems to give a lot of liberty to the to his collaborators on this album, which makes for some really cool things we've never heard before.
Yeah.
And yeah, we still have a few tracks left to go on this album, everybody. But that is Karma. Hats off to you, RG Flex. Go ahead and follow her and support her music. And let's go on to track 10 titled Office Rage.
I'm not going to do that.
and that sinister track is titled Office Rage. What was cool with that one was it was plunging into these 8-bit sounds for the first 2 minutes, and I was thinking, you know, this is really cool. It's very sinister, it's very dark, very Doom vibes, I guess, from the 90s, very id Software era vibes. But you come in with that metal guitar at the end, while keeping that vaporwave noise beat in the background, and oh my god, the elevation and the culmination of the idea in that is just like topped off, and wow, really outdone himself again with this one. And this track featured Bug. Couldn't find Bug's Bandcamp, unfortunately. Sorry, I tried, and I was getting too into the song, so I couldn't look him up. Apologize, but that track is Office Rage. This second half of the freaking album is blowing me away right now. The next track has their emoticons, so it's hard to even pronounce what it is. You can't. You literally can't. It's impossible. But it's track 11, and it features Laura Iacuzio.
Thank you.
Nice little ballad once again to be included in this album. Quadrado X seems to like to have these breaks where it's just piece and guitar and singing. And yeah, pretty interesting track. Personally, well, we get to that in the critique. I think we can, I'll save that for then. In the meantime, let's go on to the next track titled Omega Eyes. And that track is titled Omega Eyes. Starts really strong with that beat, goes on for a little bit. And yeah, not too much really to say about that one. Nice little staple after a nice guitar ballad. So let's go on to the 13th track titled Not Fade Away. ¶¶ a lot more of a traditional 80s aesthetic with that one that we probably haven't seen in this album at all, with that drum and bass and the synthesizers coming from those 808s once again. I think that there's something to be said once again about the range and the expansion that Quadrato X is doing in this. There really is no two tracks alike at all, and yet this album sits at a good 1 hour. Gotta applaud him for that. You gotta respect him for that ambition. And let's close this out so we can talk about the whole album with the 14th track, Enowlment.
Thank you.
And annulment, the definition of that is the final outcome of the main dramatic complication in a literary work in the denouement or the outcome of a complex sequence of events. So this is the bookend of the album. I like the horns. I like the way it began the track. I like the way the horns layer onto the beat. Nice little, a little bit of a Muzak Mallsoft feel with that, to be honest. With a bit of a harder dance EDM sort of feel to it. And that closes this epic album, 1995. And I guess epic would be a good word for it, because I'd say as a whole, this album has a lot in it. It is trying to do a lot. It is trying to scale in a large sense. You know, that is kind of what the ambition of Quadrato X's motivation to make this album is. You know, it's very, it's trying to do a lot, and that is the identity of the album. Now, the question is, does it? Does it do what it intends to do? I'd say for the most part, it does. I think that this album has a lot of good ideas that are presented. And this album was released in 2017. So who knows where Quadrato X is at in the present day. Maybe we'll find out in the future episode, possibly. But this album, I think, does suffer a little bit of an excess. I think there are some tracks in here that probably could have been cut. I can name a few. I think track 11 with Laura Iacuzio, as beautiful as that singing was, I think that the pacing and having it be the fourth to last track on the album gave it this pace, this abrupt stop, coming off of the track Karma and Office Rage, giving that abrupt stop, going into these 4 minute long tracks that preceded it, Omega Eyes, Not Fade Away, and Annulment. You know, the length of those songs, the sheer length of 4 minutes, after coming off such a high point on the album, I think was a little unwise. I think to make those maybe bonus tracks would be great. But I think just tracks 1 to 10 would have made this such a tight-knit, more succinct album that would have, I think, brought it up there with the classics and in the experimental part of the vaporwave genre, or in the part of the genre that likes to experiment and blend with other genres. I do think that's really all that kind of held it back, because conceptually, it's pretty cool. I like that it's almost like flicking through different TV stations. You get different flavors, different ideas, different channels, different stories from track to track. I love that. I love that the commitment to the different types of styles. But I think sometimes in the ambition of certain people, sometimes you can reach a little too far. And it does err on that side, especially at the end. I was thinking after the track Karma that we would go straight into an ending that would be that would keep in mind the pacing of the album. That wouldn't stretch it out into an hour, which I feel like the last few tracks kind of do. They kind of stretch it out. They could have been cut in half, I think. Omega Eyes especially could have been cut in half. Actually, no, Omega Eyes was I think, one of the more acceptable ones at 4 minutes, but Not Fade Away, especially that could have been cut in half. But yeah, you know, this is our first taste of the Italian vaporwave scene. And yeah, I mean, Brandon, what are your thoughts, closing thoughts on this album?
I thought sonically it did a lot of really great things. Obviously, like Karma and Office Rage did a really good job. Definitely Office Rage reminds you of the feeling you have of that generic disgruntled employee. But I feel like for the most part, the artists definitely, they definitely have a specific sound and a way of carving out their stories that they're trying to tell with each track, for sure. And I feel like you can tell that more with the non-collaborative songs. So like Return Back to Papaya Beach, Euro Weather Channel, those I definitely feel like I got more of what the artist is all about in terms of their style. And I think it's more, for me, it's having, it's like stretching out a feeling that you would normally, that's kind of hard to describe, right? And then putting it into like 4 minutes. So that's definitely how the non-collaborative pieces felt.
Yeah.
So the taste breakers were for sure, and in my opinion, the taste makers of the songs, of the whole thing was a lot of the collaborative stuff.
I agree.
Yeah. Sophia Volume 1 was really great. I really liked that one a lot, like that guitar melody. But you can definitely tell that they're more, it definitely felt more of like that hypnagogic, right? To where it's like repetitive melodies and loops kind of hitting you over and over again. And then you introduce different types of ear candy, just kind of left and right in your ears. And that kind of carries you through the rest of the track. So I feel as if with that coupled with a collaborator that may not specialize in that is what really kind of made the dynamicism really cool with Karma and Office Rage. So I hope that we listen to more of the artist stuff in the future, more of like the solo work. And it just seems like the person's able to really use specialties of the collaborations really, really well. So I definitely applaud them for that.
Yeah, I think this is a good album for a lot of features. And you're right, a lot of these solo tracks on here, they're not terrible. None of them are really bad. A lot of them just feel like they're fighting for space when it comes to the other feature tracks. Because at some point when you have an album where it's like mostly features, it's almost like it begs to be like a remix album rather than an album on itself. So I understand why. I understand why there is a insertion of so many of these tracks in here. But at the end of the day, this was a really fun listen. I think there were some really good nuggets in here. I do want to see more of the Italian vaporwave scene. I think we should dive into that more for sure. And once again, Business Casual just continuing to impress us with their range on their label. I mean, I had no idea we're going to hear anything like this today. Freaking insane. But what did you guys think? Let's talk about it. Let's go on Instagram at The Virtual Ocean. Leave us a comment. Send us a DM. Let's just talk about the music. What did you think about 1995 by Quadrato X? And we will get to you there. But in the meantime, we have returned to our ship. We have gone through so many different caverns, so many different worlds. I don't know where the fuck we've even been. We lost track of time. You know, that's how insane this ride was. But we're back on our ship, safe and sound, as we always do. So let's go ahead and set sail once again to another location in the next episode. And we will see you there. Thank you for listening, everybody. And we love you guys. Stay safe. We love you, Italy. We're praying for you. And stay sanitized, everybody. Stay sanitized.
Raise the davit. Get these folks on board.
How are we looking today, sir?
Skies are clear and the ocean vast. I think we should go where our hearts take us.